Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord our God, through the precious blood of your Son, you reconciled the world to yourself, and at the foot of the cross you chose the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of reconciliation for sinners. Grant through her intercession that we may obtain pardon for our sins. We make this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. After the man and the woman had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" The man answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." The Lord God asked, "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me. She gave me the fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and the dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. Her offspring will strike at your head, while you strike at their heel." The man called his wife Eve, because she became the mother of all the living. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are you, daughter, by the Most High God, above all the women on earth. And blessed be the Lord God, the Creator of heaven and earth. You are the highest honor of our race. Your deed of hope will never be forgotten by those who tell of the might of God. You are the highest honor of our
with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When he came to the other side, to the territory of the Gadarenes, demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine. And the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they drowned. The swine herds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon, the whole town came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. The Gospel of the Lord.
The very first paragraph of the Catechism of the Catholic Church reads, "God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. For this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws close to man. He calls man to seek him, to know him, to love him with all his strength. He calls together all men, scattered and divided by sin, into the unity of his family, the church. To accomplish this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son as Redeemer and Savior. In his Son and through him, he invites men to become, in the Holy Spirit, his adopted children, and thus heirs to his blessed life. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Omnipotent, the All-Powerful One, God, who is Mercy Himself, from all eternity willed, in the first place, to go outside of Himself and create. And among the first things He created were vast numbers of angels, each one its own species, spiritual beings of incredible intelligence and power and beauty, in 9 different ranks: seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, virtues, and powers, principalities, archangels, and angels, each with a unique name, a unique identity, and a unique purpose. And he revealed to these angels his plan of sheer goodness, of mercy. God revealed to the angelic beings that he willed to create other things, planets and stars and rocks and minerals and animals and water, and then finally, as the summit of all creation, God willed to create mankind, male and female, in the divine image, but a composite of matter and spirit, with an immortal soul and a body which is holy and destined for union with God Himself, by which body man and woman would be able to offer the immortal Godhead beautiful worship. God revealed to the angels that He intended to extend to each man and each woman the capacity to be merciful in the same way as He is, by generating new life in the world, something that angels are incapable of doing. God revealed that this divine mercy, which is first creative, would enable man and woman to render God perfect worship in and through their humanity. And God revealed to the angels that, wonder of wonders, because God so loved the world, that the second person of the Blessed Trinity freely chose to descend from his royal throne and take unto himself the fullness of humanity by assuming human nature through a woman, the woman, in order to consecrate and transform all things which he had made, primarily man made to his own image and likeness, and secondarily all irrational creation which he has made subservient to the needs of humanity. God revealed further that he would elevate human nature above the angels, and that God willed first that the angels and all creation would serve humanity, helping them to offer infinite and beautiful worship to the Trinity with the woman as their queen. God revealed to the angels that this was their vocation, to serve this mystery. God's ultimate purpose in creating the world is the manifestation of his goodness and excellence, and the communication of them in part to his creatures, Consequently, creation's first reason for existence is to glorify the Creator. And humanity fulfills its obligation to glorify God by living in conformity with the laws which govern human existence, by fulfilling our vocation, and especially in the acts of religion. Irrational creatures fulfill their obligation too in the very existence and functions according to the laws which govern their nature. This is their silent voice of praise. And out of envy, many of these angels, led by the morning star Lucifer, said, "No. No, it is not fair. No, it should be me," he said, "not them, vile, wretched, material compounds of mud and spirit. No, I will not serve this mystery," he says. "I will not serve that humility which empties itself, which, though in the form of God, does not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. I will not serve that mercy which empties itself, taking on the form of a slave, coming in human likeness." Lucifer and the other angels decided then and forever to set themselves against the plan of God, against their own vocations, against their call to union with God, against their call to holiness in glory, and they plunged down to earth like lightning, into the earth which they hate, in order to destroy the creation that God so loves, in order to drag that creation out of communion with God and to wage war on them, especially upon the woman. And so Satan, the murderer from the beginning, the enemy of our human nature and the author of heresy, attacked our first parents, who succumbed to the temptation, who succumbed to evil, to disobedience, to rebellion. And sin entered the world, and with sin, death. First and best among the creation is the woman, with whom God chose to associate himself in the incarnation, the woman from whom he would receive his sacred humanity. This means that the woman, Mary of Nazareth, is not God's response to sin. The woman, Mary Most Holy, is not an afterthought. She is not some sort of divine retort to the insult of sin. No, God does not react. God is omnipotent, all-knowing, immutable, and supremely free. God, in a plan of sheer goodness and infinitely powerful mercy, freely chose to unite Mary with his divine plan. God chose to need Mary. God chose to need her. And God chose to need you and me also. This is her vocation, her call, and she accepted it. God, in his humility, chose to enter creation of his own will through a woman, to become dependent upon her and upon Saint Joseph for human needs, for human protection, for human care. And God chose to need you and me also. This is her vocation, and this is our vocation, our call. And evil is an attack on that plan of mercy. And the evil one, the enemy of human nature, the enemy of all nature, is the enemy of your vocation. But God has granted to Mary power over Satan. In his supreme freedom, He has granted to Mary, the first and best collaborator with him, he has granted to Mary power over Satan. With her immaculate heel, she crushes the head of the lying, tempting serpent, and she does so simply and with great power. And the demons hate her, and they are terrified of her simplicity and her humility and her power, because it is precisely that weakness, that humility, where God's power is exercised in her, in human nature, in her weakness. He who is omnipotent by nature has made Mary omnipotent by grace. The Second Vatican Council declares solemnly, "In reality, it is only in the mystery of the Word made flesh that the mystery of man truly becomes clear. Adam, the first man, is a type of the one who is to come, the new Adam, the novissimum, the newest Adam. And by the very fact that human nature in Christ was assumed and not absorbed, by his incarnation, Jesus has raised human nature to a dignity beyond compare. He has given to us, by his incarnation, and even more by our baptism, a share in his divine life. He has given us, through the intercession of Mary, a share in that victory. And yet, while we still suffer sickness and illness, we still suffer evil and the attacks of the evil one, we are assured of the victory. God has even gone so far as to unite inanimate objects, things, to himself by uniting those things which have been separated by sin, creation itself, water, oil, salt, everything which can be used to offer God beautiful worship, through the sacramentals which lead to and extend the grace of the sacraments. He has granted even to these inanimate objects a dignity which is higher than the demons. In just a few moments after the intercessions, we will bless salt as a sacramental. And by this blessing, God raises that salt and makes it higher than the angelic, the fallen angelic nature, which is a further insult, a further sign of God's mercy and his power, and how far the demons have fallen, to give to us not merely human nature, but to created reality. Salt has always been used for the seasoning of food, for the preservation of things from corruption. From early days, it had a sacred and religious character. The prophet Elijah, he made the waters of a well pure in 2 Kings. Others used it to cleanse and harden the skin of newborn children, prophet Ezekiel. By throwing salt on a piece of land, they dedicated it to God. In Jewish law, it was prescribed for the sacrifices and the loaves of proposition in Leviticus. Salt symbolizes wisdom. We use it in our rites, uniting it with holy water, placing it on the tongues of babies to be baptized as the first sign of the taste of wisdom. We sprinkle it in our houses to ward off the attacks of the enemy. Whereas water will evaporate, salt tends to stay longer. And so it is a common thing to place it in food, to consume it, or sprinkle it on the windowsills of a house. In all of these ways, we are reminded of Mary's closeness, of God's compassion through the Blessed Virgin Mary and her ability and her desire to come close to us in every age and in every place with our Blessed Mother, to protect us, to guide us to her Son, Jesus.
O Blessed Virgin Mary, we thank and praise you for your appearance to the child Bernadette in the Grotto of Lourdes, where you declared to her and the world, "I am the Immaculate Conception." By appearing in the grotto, you made it a privileged sanctuary where many have obtained miraculous cures for physical and spiritual infirmities. O loving Mother of us all, you know our wants, our troubles, and our sufferings. We come before you with complete confidence to implore your maternal intercession. Obtain for us, O sweet Mother, the granting of our request. for my friend Sheila's mom in a rapid decline from her Alzheimer's. Please, Holy Mother of Jesus, our Savior, bring aid and solace to all homeless all over Spokane, for those who sleep under the Brown Street Railroad Bridge tunnel. Asking for mercy of Jesus, your Son, the Son of God the Father. For Greg, who took his life today, and for his family and friends. That my son will get help for his drinking and for his health. For our annulments, so we can have our marriage blessed. For repair of my relationship with my son and protection of my grandchildren. That my children return to the church and their Catholic faith. For all priests under attack for defending the truths of the Holy Catholic faith against her enemies, especially Islam. For forgiveness and continued strength to live my life as Christ would want and to avoid the devil's daily temptations. For these and all the intentions which we bring to this Lord's Novena for healing. O blessed Lady of Lourdes, Mother of Christ, you had influence with your divine Son while upon the earth. You have that same influence now in heaven. Pray for us that we may obtain from your divine Son our special requests, but only if they be in accord with his holy will. We make this petition through the same Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Our Lady of Lourdes, Saint Bernadette, Saint Michael the Archangel. So I know that some of you have brought salt here tonight from your home, so if you want to get that out now. And then we also have individual vials of salt for everyone. Father Barnett will come out now to offer the special blessing over the salt, the salt you have in your hands, and then the salt we have to distribute. And then we'll distribute that as we have been the rest of the night with four different stations for distribution. If you were at Mass today, you know Father Tracy preached about the importance of salt as protection from corruption. And so this salt can be sprinkled on the lintel of your doorstep, in front of your kids' bedrooms, on the windowsills, and in your food as an invocation for God's protection against demons.
I'll be using the extraordinary form blessing, which is in Latin, but I'll give you the translation. And it begins with an exorcism of the salt, which is the realization that we are on enemy territory. And Jesus comes to claim what is rightfully his, but which has been usurped. And so the exorcism of the salt, and then the blessing of the salt. I'll read the English translation, and then I'll pray the prayer in Latin. Thou creature of salt, I purge thee of all evil by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God, by the God who ordered thee through Eliseus the prophet to be cast into the water to cure its unfruitfulness. Be thou a purified salt for the health of believers, giving soundness of body and soul to all who use thee. In whatever place thou art sprinkled, may phantasms and wickedness and Satan's cunning be banished. And let every unclean spirit be repulsed by him who shall come to judge the living and the dead and the world by fire. O almighty and everlasting God, humbly we implore thy boundless mercy that thou wouldst deign of thy goodness to bless and sanctify this creature of salt which thou hast given for the use of mankind. May all that use it find in it a remedy for soul and body. And let everything which it touches or sprinkles be freed from uncleanness and assault from evil spirits. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Adiutorium nostrum in nomine Domini.
Exorcizo te creatura salis per deum vivum, per deum verum, per deum sanctum, per deum qui te per Eliseum prophetam in aqua mite usit, ut saneretur sterilitas aquae, ut viciare sal exorcizatum in salutum credentium, et sis omnibus sumintibus te sanitas anime et corporis, et effugiat atque dissedat a loco, in quo aspersum fuoris omnis fantasia et nequitia, vel versutia diabolici fraudis, omnisque spiritus immundus, adjuratus per eum qui venturus est judicare vivos et mortuos, et saeculum per ignem. Amen. Oremus. Immensam clementiam tuam, omnipotens eterni Deus, humiliter imploramus ut hanc creaturam salas, quam in usum generis humani tribuisti, benedicere et sanctificare tuas pietate digneris, ut sit omnibus sumentibus salus mentis et corporis, et quid quid ex eo tactum verberis perserum fuerit, cariat omni immuditia, omnique impugnatione spiritalis nequitiae, per Dominum nostrum Iesum Christum, filium tuum, qui tecum vivit et regnat in eiustum Spiritus Sancti Deus, per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for this time of prayer and ask that you help us to imitate the life and virtue of the Blessed Virgin Mary so that we may resist Satan and become true disciples of Christ, eagerly hearing his words and putting them into practice. We ask this through Christ our Lord. So just to be clear, if you brought salt tonight, Father Barnett's intention was to bless it. So all the salt in the cathedral tonight has been blessed, including that which rests on your brow. So it's all good. Tomorrow, Bishop Daly will be here preaching on Our Lady of Humility, and the devotion tomorrow night will be the blessing of religious articles, sacramentals. So you may bring from your home crucifixes or holy pictures, medals, rosaries, whatever you'd like, and we'll have a number of clergy here to bless all those for you. And then Tuesday is our solemn closing of the novena with symphony brass and our choir and the anointing of the sick. If anyone you know needs to be anointed, please invite them to be here, especially on Tuesday for the closing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.